to do that. And what we've been talking about is, the good news is, in order to be used by God, you don't need to be a spiritual guru. You don't need to be a perfect vessel. Basically, God just uses people who are humbled, who are surrendered to Him, and who are just available to being used. And so, here's the bottom line for the series that we've been saying. The big idea for the series is this: is that heroes are ordinary people who rely on the supernatural power of God. Heroes are ordinary people who rely on the supernatural power of God. And so we've been talking about various ways that God can use us. And today I'm so excited to have my friend, Miss AJ from Chick-fil-A, Moore Road. She's coming to join us today. And we're going to kind of teach together. Glad to have Miss AJ. And the reason I wanted to have Miss AJ, she is a hero in Suwannee. She really is. And anybody who goes to Chick-fil-A at Moore Road has run into Miss AJ, and she is one of the best I know at hospitality. And what we want to do today is show you how God can use you, God can use us, God can use our church by the way we welcome people, by the way we offer hospitality to people. And so, Miss AJ, we're so glad to have you today.
And I'm scared and nervous.
I get it.
Never done this before.
Well, we're so humbled and grateful that you did. And of course, Miss AJ is not a preacher, but she's an anointed follower of Jesus. And what we want to do is get super practical today, but I want you to just hear from her. She really is a jewel. Her faith in Jesus is so real. One of the things I've always admired about you is just how authentic you are in your walk of faith. And why don't you just, before we really dive in, why don't you just share with us briefly about just a little bit about your background? You have an interesting background, and even about some of your faith background as well.
Well, I was born and raised in Germany, and I was christened into the Lutheran Church. My people did not go to church at all. And on Sundays, we had better things to do as I grew up. And so when it came time to be for the confirmation, we had to meet with the pastor. I belonged to a huge church. It was divided into four different areas. And it was when it was time for my pastor to preach, the ones that belonged to that little group would have to be there, and at the end of the service, we would have to meet him at the side door, and he would have to sign his initials on the little book, in the little book, otherwise we would not have come, because we would have gotten in trouble.
Interesting.
But anyway, it went along, and I met my husband over there when I was 16. He was an American, and of all the 70,000 people, you know, if somebody told me I was going to meet an American and marry him, I would have said no. But I did, and I came to this country shortly after graduation, graduated 2 weeks later, we got married, and lived over there for another year, and I came to this country. I was not a Christian, but I wanted to be like everybody else, you know, so I tried to be, you know, go to church, you know, with them, and until one day I was convicted, and accepted the Lord as my Savior. Willis, my late husband, was a Christian, and he had talked to me, but, you know, I sort of brushed it aside. You know, yeah, if you want that stuff, you know, you go with it.
Interesting.
But so I became a Christian, and we moved around a lot due to Willis's profession. You know, he built, back in the days, he ran and built sawmills. That's in the past now. They don't do that anymore. But anyway, eventually we wound up in Suwannee. And I went to work, I had gone to work for Nordson Corporation, which is right up the road here, Lakefield Drive, and I was in customer service. That is sort of got a little introduction into customer service.
Yeah, what did you, customer service-wise for that company, what did that entail?
Well, you know, it was mostly customer would order parts and things, you know, and I would run interference, getting the parts to them and, you know, try to take care of the complaints, and, you know, of course, we had a certain...
Customer service means dealing with complaints.
Most of the time, yes. And eventually, they offered a package for early retirement, which was a very good one, and I accepted it and became retired. Did my thing as a retired person. We had, in the meantime, we had bought an Airstream, and we were traveling all over the country and having a good time. We had a place in Tennessee that we loved. But then eventually, I was in a Bible study at Charterbrook, my home church, and I came in. It was a special Bible study. Brother Linkus, Brother Bobby, was the one that was, how would you say that, leading it.
Yeah.
And this gentleman walked in, and he was dressed up with a shirt and a tie, and he sat next to me in the back row, doing good Baptist sitting in back roads. And we chatted back and forth, and before the pastor launched into the service or the Bible study, he introduced himself as Brad Williams and said that he was the owner-operator of the Chick-fil-A that was being built or had been built, and he was looking for a host or hostess. He gave out the little coupons, which we all loved, and he sat back down, and in a little bit, you know, I thought, well, I might like that. So I told him, he said, you know, I might be interested. So he jotted down his cell phone number, and he said, call me. And I still have their business card, and it has his name, his number on it, and the rest of it's history. I talked to him, and I've been there ever since.
So that's great. So did you catch this? She was retired, happily retired, right? Most people would just kick up your feet and go to the beach and do all that stuff, but there, it sounds like, you know, but obviously Brad didn't even go to that church
at
the time.
No, he did not.
He came looking for a host or a hostess.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it seems like that was, you know, it seems like that was, there was some kind of nudge from
God.
Yeah,
it was.
What was it that made you, I mean, most people would just say, I'll just help out a little bit. What was it that made you say, maybe God is calling me into that?
I don't know. I just felt, like you said, a little nudge, you know. I might want to do that, you know. I might want to do that.
Interesting. Isn't that cool how God will speak to us sometimes? And I think it's just a reminder that no matter how young we are, no matter how old we are, God has never finished with us, you know. No matter what season in our life that we're in, God's never finished with us. And what a cool thing that when God was nudging her, she didn't say, oh no, God, I'm retired. You know, I love this, and I think this is a great reminder for us that when God nudges us in certain directions, that, you know, almost like Samuel, when late at night, when God was calling out to Samuel, and he thought it was his, dad speaking to us, speaking to him, and eventually he realizes it's the Lord, and he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I love, it sounds very similar. Miss AJ was open to being used by God, even in that new season, and I love that. So anyway, you are a hostess.
Yes.
At Chick-fil-A. What's kind of the basic thing that you do as a hostess?
Well, most of all, of course, I will welcome you if I see you coming in, and then I will come around and I will speak to you, and of course, if I know you, I will ask about your family maybe, or if you have little children, I would get out my little placemat and I ask you if I can tuck it down for you and you want to help me, you know, and try to...
That's my kid's favorite. The placemats have these little stickies. Yeah. On them, and she lets my kids pull the sticky off and help her with it, so it's amazing.
And try to make a little connection there and also try to anticipate the customer's needs. Don't just wait until they come up to the counter, but make my little rounds and give up my little mints, you know, and may I help you? Is there anything else you might need? And how is your food? How are you doing? And those kind of things.
Such a difference. I walked into a restaurant not long ago, and there was a big screen up, and that's fine. I can do technology, and it took me 5 minutes to punch in all of our order. Nobody talked to me. And eventually when my food came out, it was almost like thrown at me, number three, you know, and I went and grabbed it like, okay, I guess I'll eat my uninspired food with people that are angry that I'm here. And it's such a difference with Miss AJ. It really is cool to see. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from her. I guess you had some, I was asking you a little bit about scripture, and you had some scriptures that inspire her to, in what she does. Can we get the scriptures on the screen? We can take a look at that. Here's the first one, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
You read it. You speak good English.
Okay. You do as well. But it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So that's the first one. Here's the next one, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, or masterpiece, some translations say, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I love that.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. It says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And Miss AJ was just sharing with me about the meaning, what a restaurant, what a restaurant actually means, and that goes with that scripture. What does a restaurant mean?
It means a place of refreshment. I didn't know that, but a restaurant is a place of refreshment. Yes.
And so you really see your role as like trying to refresh others.
Yes, and also if I may interject this, not tooting my own horn, but oftentimes, you know, I have a group of young people coming, a lot of young kids, you know, from high school, and oftentimes there are two or three, and maybe there is one or two person that is not eating anything. So I have the liberty to do whatever I want to since I've been there so long. And I feel a nudge, you know, that kid is hungry. Mm-hmm. So I just go get a sandwich or a biscuit or something and I say, here, enjoy it. And you should see it. And their face just lights up and it just makes me feel so good if I could just, you know, because they may not have any money, you know.
Yeah.
And just a little kindness goes a long way.
Wow.
And you know, I've been treated rude maybe once or twice in the 12 years I've been there, but most of the time the kids are very respectful toward me. They thank me and yes ma'am and no ma'am. And the way you call into the forest, it echoes back. That's a German translation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Is it kind of like the saying of whatever you sow?
Yes.
We were talking about this last Sunday. Whoever sows generously reaps generously. Very similar here.
Yes, sir.
So what Miss AJ does a lot, and I think what's maybe helpful for all of us, because you may be saying, well, what does this have to do with me? You know, I am working in the corporate world. I'm in the school system. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't, you know, whatever. I want you to know that one of the things I love about Miss AJ is she's found a way to shine a light of Jesus right where she is. She's in the corporate world, you know, and yes, Chick-fil-A is a Christian company, but she just finds a way to use her gifts and to do it with all her heart as working for the Lord, you know. And what has happened is in these 12 years that she's been there, she was sharing a little bit earlier with me about her mission field. She said, my little mission field. It's like, Miss AJ, you don't understand. Everybody in Suwannee knows you. You have a bigger mission field. In fact, we posted on social media about Miss AJ coming, and people from all over were talking about, I love Miss AJ. She's become almost like a second mom for people because she welcomes people in that kind of way, and I love that. And I think that there's a lot of lessons that we can learn as a church because we want to be the most welcoming place on the planet, you know? And so that's why we want to get some tips from her how to do that. But, you know, one of the things, a little teaching here, the early church was known by the way they welcomed people. I love that. They were known by the way they welcomed people. In fact, you see all throughout the Gospels, Jesus is welcomed into homes, and he didn't seem to care what background people came from. He just loved people right where they are, and he led them into transformation. Mary and Martha hosted Jesus. Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. He hosted them. And then we see, you know, instances in the book of Acts where people were welcomed in homes. And the thing that people said about the early church is it was the community itself that was drawing people to Jesus. There was something so attractive about the love that they have in the community that everybody wanted to be a follower of Jesus. They want it. It's kind of like, I don't know what that is, but I want some of it, you know? And I think this is why this is so important. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking about ways that we can put our love into action. And I want you to check out what it says. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. This is a list of ways to do that. Here's what he says. Love must be sincere. I see that all the time when I watch Miss AJ and what she does. It's not put on. It's not about the bottom line. It's a sincere desire to love people. Love must be sincere. It says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Sometimes we can pray for people that I'm sure you do as you're walking around. But here's the last verse I want you to see. This is a list of how we can put our love into action. Paul says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. And he says this, practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Now, there's a lot of confusion about what hospitality is. A lot of people think that, I took a class on hospitality in seminary, and I was like, what am I going to learn about hospitality? Like, what is there to know other than smile at people, serve something to drink? That's all that I thought hospitality was. But it's a much deep, watching you, it's a much deeper principle. So I guess just very generally, how would you define hospitality, or what do you think hospitality is really about?
Well, most of all, of course, making people feel welcome. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, to anticipate their needs and pay attention to them and don't just ignore them. And also when they have little children, be there to help, because sometimes the moms are so stressed out when they have a toddler and a new baby. And then also, you never know, just because somebody is grumpy, a little smile and may I refresh your drink, you know, is there anything else can do for you? How was your food? And have a good day. Thank you for coming in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because she talks a lot about kids. And one of the things that's interesting in our community, and we see this as a church, I remember when the church first started, we knew that we wanted to have an incredible kids ministry because and a place where parents could come, they could drop off their kids, where kids could learn in a way that connects with them. But one of the things we saw in this community is there's a whole lot of young families who have kids, and I see that, like, I think it's bigger than just taking care of kids. I think what Miss AJ has seen is she sees people stressed out and people carrying heavy burden of trying to, I mean, we're walking in with our three kids and Mandy's got one baby in the baby carrier and then two holding on to them sometimes. And she finds a way to lift a burden for people. And I think that's such a cool note for us is, instead of doing what's the easiest thing, as people come in the doors of our church, how can we be the type of people that lift burdens and can be somebody who looks out for and anticipates what people need? I love that. Horst Schultz, who is another German, he is the CEO of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. Anybody heard of Ritz-Carlton Hotel before? Yeah, they're kind of like, world-class service is what they're known for. And Horst Schultz once said that hospitality means caring for the customer or the guest who is right in front of you. And I love that because that's what Miss AJ does so many times is she just, it's kind of like we want to love everybody, we want to welcome everybody, but she focuses on how can I care for the person right in front of me, you know? It's almost like do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And so I guess here's the question, here's another question for you. Chick-fil-A at Moore Road is a different restaurant, and Chick-fil-A in general is different when you're there. I have just seen that over and over and over. We're going to be on the road headed down to Florida, and we're going to stop at a Chick-fil-A probably sometime, and it's not going to be the same experience. Miss AJ, it's different when she's there. And so I asked her earlier, what is your secret sauce? Like, what's the secret sauce that makes everything feel so welcoming? And you talked a little bit about your quiet time.
Yes,
could you share what happens in your quiet time?
Yes, sir. I get it pretty early at 5:30 in the morning, and I have my quiet time. And, of course, I read my Bible and my devotionals. But my prayer is that my little light might shine for the Lord and that I might be a blessing to someone. And oftentimes, unbeknownst to me, you know, I have an opportunity to be a blessing. I don't know anything about it, but recently I received a card that was signed by four Korean ladies, very broken English, but they thanked me for serving them and for being there for them, and that they looked for me. And so I appreciated that. That was very special.
Wow. So the prayer, let's dig into that prayer a little bit more, because it's a cool prayer. So every morning you get up and you pray the same prayer?
That's the sort of, at the end, it's always the same thing because it is so important. This day, let my little light shine for you, Lord, and may I be a blessing to someone.
That's amazing, isn't it? It's kind of cool. I mean, Jesus said, let your light shine before people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's what she prays every day. God, let your light shine through me. And then Abraham was told that you're blessed to be a blessing. And so that's her prayer. Help me to be a blessing to people around me. How much different would things be if we started praying that every morning? God, as I go to work tomorrow, God, as I go to the ball field, no matter what you're doing, God, would you let your light shine through me in this situation? And we see that over and over and over with you. Obviously you're a believer. You're a believer, yes. You're a follower of Jesus. It's so evident in what she does. And so how do you use your gift of hospitality? I'm thinking more about all of us in here who, all of us are involved in different spheres of influence, different careers, different settings. How do you use your gifts of hospitality to specifically make an impact on people for Jesus? You talked a little bit about your mission field. Can you talk a little bit more about that? You said that Chick-fil-A is kind of your mission field. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, it's like I was saying earlier, to anticipate and to be kind.
Yeah.
And also let that be a good experience for them where they would come back and treat them with respect and dignity. I don't care what color you are, you are a human being, and I may be the only little Jesus person that you see.
Wow, that's amazing. I might be the only little Jesus that somebody sees. And you serve like that too. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. She's found a way. She's serving and she's doing the normal job, but yet she's doing it in a way that people are able to see Jesus in her. Such a cool thing. One of our core values at the Fountain is that we welcome others the way God first welcomed us. We welcome others the way God first welcomed us. And we've seen how important it is to show hospitality. We've seen how important it is to welcome, because quite honestly, that's not everybody's experience of church. And we don't always get it right. And for those of you who are watching online, if you have not yet visited yet before, we'd love to have you. And we hope that we do the best that we can to welcome you. We don't always get it right. But we believe that the church should be the most hospitable, the most welcoming, the most loving place on the planet. But unfortunately, the church sometimes misses the mark. And so I think there's a lot we can learn from you. So for instance, like everybody knows, let's talk about how you personalize it. Everybody who knows Miss AJ, Mandy and I were talking about this. It's so funny. Everybody who talks about Miss AJ says, you have the ability that when people leave, people tend to say, wow, I'm Miss AJ's favorite person. Like, I'm Miss AJ's favorite person. If you're a parent, that means you're a good parent if all your kids are arguing about who's the favorite, right? But everybody seems to feel like, I'm Miss AJ's favorite person. And Miss AJ is glad that I came in today. I made her day because I came in. I love how you're able to personalize the way you welcome people. Can you just talk a little bit about how you do that? How do you make it so personal for every person?
Andy, it's hard to say. It just comes naturally, sort of, And I am really, when you come in, I'm glad to see you. And, thanks for coming in, and how may I help you? And a lot of times I give people a big old hug, and even the young people, I say, hey, I can do this because I could be your grandma. And Zach knows that. Yes, indeed.
But I love, too, how you've gotten to know each guest.
Yes, sir,
and
over
I think
the
that's
years.
A big part of it. Like, when we come in, it's so funny. She knows that, all of our kids, we're all dragging in there. And so she'll bring the high chair over to us without us asking a lot of times. And she's anticipating needs. And I think for us, that's one of the ways she's personalized it for us. And for Kelsey, she knows Kelsey can be a little bit stubborn, and she likes to do things herself. And so she lets Kelsey pull the sticker off herself of her placemat, and Kelsey and her both put it together. But that's one of the ways that she's personalized it for us. And anyway, I love how you do that. I guess another way, kind of thinking about it in the other way, sometimes in the church, we can be in a conversation with a friend, you know, and let's say we're having a conversation and we feel very welcomed, we feel, strong community and all sorts of things, loved. And at the same time, every church has to fight against this tension of being a closed system, you know, being kind of closed off, where every church thinks they're a welcoming church, but you ask the marketplace and they would say, yeah, the church is not welcoming. What is that? And I think it's because we're really good at welcoming our own, you know? We're really good at welcoming people we already know, and we have to fight against that tension and to kind of keep our head on a swivel so that we don't miss the mark. Because what happens, and this has happened here before, and it happens all over the place, but we're in a deep conversation and we feel very connected, and then there's somebody that walks in and they walk out behind us and nobody speaks to them, and they don't get that same experience. And so for you, how do you make sure that nobody falls through the cracks on feeling loved and welcome and served in the same kind of way that people you know, feel that? How do you make sure that everybody gets that experience?
You know, you quote sort of like, that's your home, Chick-fil-A. And some of the repeat customers, of course, I know them. But also when somebody, a stranger comes in or somebody, you know, I try to make a special effort to welcome them. And oftentimes people come in and they just sit there because they're waiting for someone, and go over there and just get a glass of water. And as I thought, you might need a little glass of water. Welcome, thanks for coming in. If you need anything, please let me know.
So and you take the initiative then?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I love that. Well, and it's almost like you have to purposefully seek out,
yes,
to make sure nobody's left behind.
That's
you.
Right.
I think that's a good lesson for us, you know? I think one of the hard things, and I feel this as a pastor, I know you probably have felt this before, is this tension of let's say you're locked in conversation with somebody, and you don't want to be rude to the person you're talking to. And so how do you, and this happens for us, we're talking, and you'll see something that's going on. How do you do that, how do you break out a conversation so that you can go and make sure nobody misses?
Well, I usually say, would you excuse me for just a moment? I'll be right back to you. I need you to do something right quick. Please excuse me a moment. And I usually go, and people are, oh, sure, you know, and because I don't want to miss that opportunity. And especially when somebody comes in, an elderly person, you know, with a walker, and obviously they're having problems, and there's no place to sit. It's lunchtime. And oftentimes I will just ask some, you know, especially some young people, would you please be so kind? Could you sit elsewhere? Or could you maybe go outside when it's pleasant?
For somebody you know
I desperately need, no, I may not even know some. I desperately need a place for this person to sit. And most, they're very, very accommodating. And I give them a little free Chick-fil-A sandwich kind of thing. And after they've done that, and thank them for their kindness and for their cooperation, and that other person that is, you know, walking in there, it goes a long ways, and hopefully they will tell somebody else that that is a nice Chick-fil-A, not just a fast food place, that we go beyond just being an ordinary place. It's almost like an Irish pub. I've never been to one, but where everybody knows everybody, you know.
It's like the Cheers theme song, where everybody knows.
We're so glad to see you. Come on in.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit more, because you said it's you want it to be a different place. One of the things that Chick-fil-A is known for is this principle of second mile service. Second mile service. And you may not have heard of that, that's a big thing for Chick-fil-A, but you've experienced if you've been to one. It comes from the idea that back in Jesus' time, that if a Roman soldier told you had to carry something, you were required by law to carry it for 1 mile. That was the end of your requirement. And then after that, you drop it. And so remember when Simon of Cyrene, Jesus is being led to the cross, Simon of Cyrene is just a passerby, and a Roman soldier says, boy, you know, man, I need you to grab this cross and carry it. And he's the one that ends up carrying Jesus's cross the rest of the way up to Golgotha. Isn't that cool? And it's this law. But what Jesus said, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, don't just go the 1 mile, go with them a second mile. Basically, don't just do what's required. Go above and beyond in the way that you way that you serve others. And so, I guess what are some ways that maybe you go the second mile at Chick-fil-A, and maybe what are some ways that we could go the second mile in service to people as a church?
Well, of course, as I said, anticipate their needs and also, you know, carry their tray for them. Ask if you could do anything else, and if there's a problem with their sandwich, you know, you take care of it and give them another sandwich. You know, you don't just...
That doesn't happen at other restaurants, by the way, you know.
Pardon me?
That doesn't happen at other restaurants, by the way, where there's like, oh, let me give you another sandwich. Like,
yes, or,
you know,
they forgot to put the pickles on there, so you get them a little extra dish of pickles. You know, whatever the customer needs or wants, you know, they are the most important person there.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit about church wise. How can we take some of these principles and apply it to the way people experience welcome in our services? I know this is expanding it a little bit beyond, but do you have any kind of thoughts on how we could go the second mile in the way we welcome people into the church?
Well, it's as you had said earlier, Andy, excuse me, by not ignoring them, making sure when they are here, you know, that they greet them and that you greet them, pardon me, and that you welcome them. And also I see you have coffee and refreshments. When somebody's standing up there, walk up to them and, hey, you know, I'm so glad you're here. Is this your first time here? And where do you live? And make it a little personal if you can, you know, find out about them. And do you have any children? We have a wonderful children's program. And may I show you where it is?
Mm-hmm. That's good. So personalizing it, getting to know people. Isn't it funny that a lot of it is just making the initiative and going to talk with people? A lot of times I think we expect the guest to be the one to take the step. Well, if they want information, they'll come get it. No, we have to flip the script a little bit, and we have to be the ones that go. I think a lot of times people don't realize that they're wanted, that we want you here, and we want you to experience Jesus here. And so I love that. I love that we have to go to them. I guess let's just make this the last question. Anything else? Well, I'll just ask you this. Anything else you want to add on as far as hospitality or anything else that would be helpful?
Sort of caught me off guard. I don't guess is there another question you could ask me?
Yeah, I'll ask you another question. How about... This is kind of a funny one. So talking about my bad service experience, I walked up, pressed the buttons for like 5 minutes, and I think sometimes companies and people, there's two different tensions. You can either make a decision to do what's easiest and most convenient for me, what's easiest and most convenient for our company, right? That was kind of my, I'm punching numbers in, and it felt like the employees were mad that I showed up. And they were serving me, right? And so it was almost like they were trying to do whatever was best for them instead of what was best for me. On the other hand, Chick-fil-A and Miss AJ has a different mindset of, look, it's not about me, right? I want to do whatever it takes, even if it means I got to sacrifice. I want to do what's best for our guests. And so how do you fight against that tension? Because you're not always... You know, there's stuff going on, I'm sure, in your personal life sometimes, and you don't always probably feel like, you know, serving people in that kind of way. So how do you keep focused on doing what's best for the customer, for the guest, instead of just doing what's best for me?
You know, I look forward to going to work every morning, and it is it gives me a focus. It gives me a purpose in life. And I'm just glad to be there. You know, what can I do to make it a good experience? And also, like most of the industry focuses on the product, you know, research and development, and Chick-fil-A focuses on service. Of course, they have product development, but service. Yeah. And, you know, as we, if I may say this, when we have meet and greet twice a month, you know, people come in and they have their little applications filled out, and they sort of see who would fit the our requirements, and then there would be another interview, etc. And you know, like we said a lot of times, you know, we can train you, but we can't fix a bad attitude. If you have a bad attitude, that is not going to work too well. Sooner or later, it will come out. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, those folks just don't stay very long. Something, you know, they just don't fit in. Mm-hmm.
So who you are is really important, yes. And having a good attitude. I think that's so helpful. Can we give her a hand for incredible wisdom? And let me issue you a challenge before we sing our last song. Here's the challenge I'm going to give you. I want to challenge you this week, every day this week, to pray Miss AJ's prayer, to pray the prayer she prays. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help your light to shine through me and help me to be a blessing to people. I want to challenge you to pray that. Let your light shine through me and help me to be a blessing to people around me.